Chazor zeichnish bachis shvag mem bim zeichnish avoy zeichnish daf nun perik rabbi shmol perik revi zok the helga mishnah b'siyata d'shmaya. Rabbi Shmuel says if three stones are found one next to the other and they're next to them, makulas avoy zeichnish, makulas is made by putting one stone on top of two other stones, then they're also, if they're only two next to the makulas, they're mutter. The Chum say the stones that seem to be with the makulas are usher. Those that seem not to be with them are mutter. In fact, the view of the rabbanu makes sense because they must hold that goyim worship even pieces of avodah zarah. Therefore, when stones are found that appear to be from the makulas, we say that they're part of it and fell off and are still worshipped, and therefore they're usur. If they don't appear to come from it, we say that they're mutter. However, what does Rabbi Shmuel hold? If he holds that they worship even broken pieces, then even if there are only two pieces, they should be usur. And if he holds that they don't, then even three pieces should be mutter. And then Rabbi Yisrael by Yosef name Rabbi Yochanan said, if the stones are known to have fallen from Makulas, everyone would agree the stones are also, because even according to the view that the Goyim don't worship broken pieces, that's only true for Avodah Zarah, it doesn't usually fall apart. But Makulas is made from separate pieces and they normally fall apart and therefore would remain also. Machlokes is regarding stones which we don't know where they came from. Even then, if they're close enough that we can say that they fell from the Makulas, everyone would agree that they're also. Machlokes regarding stones that are a bit distant from the Makulas. For Ekti Gemara, the Mishnah says Machlokes regarding stones that are next to Makulas. Ekti Gemara, the Mishnah means that the stones are within four amas of Makulas, but not very close. In this case, Rabbi Shmuel holds the Goyim make a smaller makulas next to a larger makulas. Therefore, when there are three stones, which is a number needed to make a makulas, we say they're usur. But if there are only two, we say they're mutter. The Rabbanan hold that they don't make a smaller one next to a larger one. Therefore, it doesn't make a difference how many stones there are. If they appear to be from the makulas, they're usur. If not, they're mutter. Frekli Mar Rabbi Yechanan said that if stones are known to have fallen from the makulas, everyone would agree that the stones are usur, because broken pieces of a makulas are definitely usur. A braisa says the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Banan is even when the stones are known to have fallen from the makulas. This refutes Rabbi Yechanan. Efti Mar Rava said, amend the braisa to say that the machlokes is when the stones are found near the makulas. Frekli Mar Braisa says that Rabbi Shmuel holds that even two stones are usur if they're within the grasp of the makulas, and three are usur even when they're further away. This refutes Rabbi Yechanan. Efti Mar Rava said the braisa is discussing where they're within one grasp, so to say, of the makulas, meaning there's nothing in between the makulas and the stones. Rabbi Yechanan is discussing where they're within two grasps. For example, there's a mound between the makulas and the stones. Frekli Mar, can it be that Rabbi Shmuel holds that three stones lying next to each other are usur as an independent makulas? The braisa says makulas only when the three stones are set up so that the two stones next to each other are on the bottom and there's a third stone on top of them. Efti Mar, Rava said the braisa is referring to the primary makulas, but the smaller ones that are put next to the primary doesn't need this configuration. The Gemara says the house of King Yanai was destroyed and Goyim came and set up a Markulas there. Other Goyim who did not believe in this Avodah Zarah came and took the stones from this and used it to pave the streets. Some Rabbanim didn't walk on the streets and others did. The ones who did not walk on the streets held back of Gidl in the name of Chiyabar Yosef in the name of Rav, who dashed in the Pasuk to teach that the offering of Avodah Zarah can never become bottle. Therefore, since all the stones that were added to the original Markulas were added as offerings, they could therefore not become bottle. The ones who did walk on these streets held that for an offering of Avodah Zarah to become Usur, it has to be similar to the Karbonis that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why these stones are mutter. The Gemara says Rabbi Yosef Bar Abba said that Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah came to our city and taught a braisa that said if a guy took stones from Makulas Avodah Zarah and used them to pave a road, the road is mutter to be used. If a yid took stones from Makulas Avodah Zarah and used them to pave a road, the road is also to be used. Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah said there is no one who can explain the reason for this. Rav Sheish said, I can explain it. You must find the braisa difficult because of the ruling of Rav Gidl. However, the stones are mutter because they're not like the karbanos offered in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says Rabbi Yosef Bar Abba said Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah came to our city and taught that braisa that said one may deworm or apply a smelly substance to a tree during Shemitah, but not during Chol HaMoed. One may not prune a tree during either of these times, but during both of these times, one may smear oil on a branch that was pruned before these times. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, there's no one who could explain the reason for this. Ravina said, I can explain it. What did Rabbi find difficult? It can't be that he didn't understand why deworming is mutter during Shemitah, but not Chol HaMoed, because during Shemitah, it's also to work the field, but there's no issue of tircha, and deworming is only a tircha. However, on Chol HaMoed, even tircha is usur. It also can't be that he didn't understand the difference between the allowance for applying a smelly substance but the isur to prune, because the reason is that applying the smelly substance only serves to preserve the tree, whereas pruning serves to strengthen the tree. It also can't be based on another braisa which says it's mutter to put on smelly substance on a tree before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, which suggests that it would be usur to do so on Shemitah itself. So how can this braisa allow it to happen on Shemitah? Because we can answer this contradiction by saying that one braisa refers to the process done to preserve the tree, the other which is mutter on Shemitah, and the other braisa refers to when it's done to strengthen the tree, which is why it's usur on Shemitah. It also can't be based on another braisa which says it's mutter to smear oil on figs and to fatten them with oil before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, which suggests that it would be usur to do so on Shemitah itself. So Bazoi, how could this brisa allow it on Shemitah? Because we can answer that. That's not a contradiction. We could say that smearing a branch with oil merely preserves the tree. Fattening the fruit makes them better and therefore usher. Rav Sam, the son of Ravashi, told Ravina, what Rabba found difficult to understand is why it's mutter to smear a pruned branch with oil on Chalamoid, but it's also to put the smelly substance on a tree on Chalamoid. They're both done to preserve the tree. So why is it one usher and one mutter? It was for this reason that he said there's no one who can explain this to me. Zakhmar Vaita Behuda Nami Rav said, with regard to Avodah Zarah that's normally served by shaking a stick in front of it, if a person breaks a stick in front of it, he'd be chaya, but if he threw the stick in front of it, he'd be potter. Vekmar Abai asked Rav, why is it that he's chaya for breaking it, since it's similar to the Avodah of shechting a carbon, but he's potter for throwing it, which that's also similar to the Avodah of throwing the blood on the Mizbeach. And Fitigmar Rav said, in order to be chaya, the throwing has to be done in a way that when you throw it, it breaks up, like blood that breaks up when you throw it. Vekmar Abraisa says, if a person gave excrement to an Avodah Zarah to eat, he smeared it on its face, or poured urine in front of it, he's chayiv, even if this is not the normal way to serve the Avodah Zarah. Now, urine breaks up when it's poured, but excrement does not, so according to Rav, why is he chayiv? Gemara says the Braisa is referring to very watery excrement, and that's why it does break up when it's thrown. Fact, Gemara, maybe we can say that the halacha of Rav, that breaking the stick is like shchita, is actually the subject of machlokes among Tanoim. Braisa says, if a person shechted a grasshopper for Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayiv, Nacham says potter. Maybe we can say that Rabbi Yehuda holds any act that is similar to shechting would make one chayiv, and Nacham says that it has to be more similar to an actual carbon. Shechting a grasshopper is not considered a shechita at all. Based on this, Rav would hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And if it's zakt Gemara, it may be everyone requires a greater similarity to an actual carbon, and therefore breaking a stick would not be viewed as a shechita. The machlekes here is specific to a grasshopper because his neck is similar to the neck of an animal, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says he'd be chaya. But he would agree that he would not be chaya for the breaking of a stick.